You know the area of the circle is pi r squared. You have known it since school. Here is a harder question. Why? Not can you recite the formula, but where does it come from if you are not allowed to just look it up? Most people draw a blank, and that blank is the perfect place to start, because deriving the area of a circle from scratch happens to contain the whole of calculus in miniature. Every big idea in this track is hiding inside this one problem. This lesson is the orientation for everything that follows. By the end, you will have rebuilt pi r squared with your own hands, and in doing so, you will have met the two pillars of calculus, rates, and accumulation, and the surprising fact that they are two sides of one idea. Slice the hard problem into easy pieces. The area of a circle is hard to attack head-on because the boundary curves. The trick, which is the trick behind most of calculus, is to break the hard thing into many small pieces that are each easy, then add them up. Carve the disc into thin concentric rings, like the rings of a tree. Pick one ring at some radius with a small thickness, a thin ring of vanishingly small thickness. If the ring is thin enough, you can imagine unrolling it into a thin, straight strip. Its length is the circumference of the circle at that radius, 2πr, and its width is that tiny thickness. So the area of one ring is approximately... This is an approximation, because a real ring is slightly trapezoidal rather than a perfect rectangle. Its outer edge, at a slightly larger radius, is a touch longer than its inner edge at the radius itself. But here is the heart of the calculus mindset. The thinner you make that ring, the closer those two edges get, and the closer the ring is to a true rectangle, so the better the approximation gets. We will let the thickness shrink toward zero and watch the error vanish. And diagram placeholder. A disc carved into concentric rings, with one ring at radius r highlighted and unrolled into a thin rectangle of length 2πr, and width, dor, chi, ntoar, add the pieces up. The total area of the disc is approximately the sum of all the ring areas, one for each radius from zero out to the full radius. Now look at what that sum is, geometrically. Plot the quantity 2πr on a graph against the radius. Since 2πr is just the radius scaled by the constant 2πr, the plot is a straight line through the origin with slope 2π. Each term, 2πr times the thin thickness, in our sum is the area of a thin rectangle under that line. Height 2πr, width the thin thickness. Adding all those skinny rectangles approximates the area under the line from a radius of zero out to the full radius r. As the thickness shrinks to zero, the skinny rectangles fill the region exactly, and the sum becomes the true area under the line. That region is a triangle, base r along the horizontal axis, and height 2πr, the value of the line at the full radius r. The area of a triangle is half the base times the height. There it is, pi r squared, derived from nothing but slicing, unrolling, and adding. The formula you memorized is the area under a simple straight line, assembled out of infinitely many thin rectangles. Plug in a number to feel it. For a disc with a radius of 3, the triangle under the line has base 3 and height 2π times 3, which is 6π. So its area is 1/2 times 3 times 6π, which is 9π, which is exactly pi times 3 squared. The derivation is not a trick that only produces the symbol pi r squared. It gives the right number for any radius you choose. It is worth asking why letting the thickness shrink makes the answer exact rather than merely close. The error in treating each ring as a rectangle comes from its slight taper, the outer edge being a touch longer than the inner, and that error is tiny compared to the ring's own area. Halve the thickness and you double the number of rings, but each ring's error more than halves, so the total error falls. Push the thickness all the way to zero and the error vanishes completely. Making infinitely many, infinitely thin pieces means something precise. Controlling that limit is the technical heart of calculus, and the later lessons make it rigorous. For now, the takeaway is that the slice and add method is not an approximation we settle for. In the limit, it is exact. Diagram. Placeholder. The line 2-pore plotted against R, with thin rectangles under it summing to the triangle of base R and height 2πr, area πr2 slash R, the two ideas hiding inside. That derivation used both halves of calculus, and seeing them named is the real payoff. Accumulation. Adding up infinitely many tiny pieces to get a total. The rings summing into the whole disk. The rectangles summing into the area under the line is called integration. It answers how much accumulates when you add a quantity over a whole range. Rate of change. Now run the relationship the other way. Let the area function, A of R, be the accumulated area of a disk of radius R, which we just found is A of R equals pi. R squared. Ask how fast that area grows as you nudge the radius outward a little. Growing the radius by a tiny step adds one more ring of area about 2 pi r times that tiny step. So the area grows by 2 pi r for each unit of radius. The rate of change of the area, written a prime of r, is 2 pi r. Look hard at that number. A prime of r equals 2 pi r is exactly the circumference at radius r, which is the very quantity we were adding up in the first place. The rate at which the accumulated area grows is the thing being accumulated. The punchline, rates and accumulation are inverses. That is not a coincidence about circles. It is the central fact of calculus and the reason the subject hangs together. Start with a curve, here 2πr. Accumulate the area under it, and you get a new function, here πr squared. That is integration. Take that accumulated function and find its rate of change, and you get back the curve you started with, 2πr. That is differentiation. Integration builds up, differentiation breaks down, and they undo each other. Accumulate a quantity and then ask how fast the total grows, and you are back to the original quantity. This is the fundamental theorem of calculus, the hinge the whole subject turns on, and you just watched it happen on a circle before we have even defined our terms carefully. Later lessons make each side precise, the rate side first, then the accumulation side, then this inverse relationship in full. What calculus actually is. Strip away the circle, and here is the general shape. Calculus is the systematic study of two questions about any function. Not just 2πr. Given a function, how fast is it changing at each instant? Differentiation, the rate. Given a function, how much does it accumulate over a range? Integration, the total. And the discovery that these two questions are inverses of each other. Every technique in this track, derivative rules, the chain rule, integrals, Taylor series, is machinery for answering one of those two questions for more and more kinds of functions. The circle was just the first, friendliest instance of a pattern that runs through all of it. Why this matters when you use AI. Calculus is the engine that makes machine learning learn. A model trains by minimizing a loss, a single number measuring how wrong it is, and it does that by computing the loss's rate of change with respect to each of its parameters, then nudging every parameter slightly in the direction that lowers the loss. That rate of change is a derivative, the rate idea from this lesson, and gradient descent is nothing but follow the slope downhill, repeated millions of times. Backpropagation, the algorithm that trains neural networks, is an organized way of computing those derivatives through many layers. Accumulation shows up too. Continuous probability, which underlies how models handle uncertainty, measures likelihood as the area under a density curve, an integral. So both halves of this lesson, the rate and the accumulated total, are load-bearing in the math that AI runs on. The notation that looks like decoration in a paper, the little d and the integral sign, is describing exactly the two ideas you just rebuilt on a circle. common pitfalls. Thinking the thickness is a mystery. Treat that thin thickness as a genuinely small but ordinary number, the thickness of a ring. It is not a magic infinitesimal. It is a small width that we let shrink towards zero, and the approximation sharpens as it does. Keeping it concrete avoids most of the confusion calculus notation causes. Believing the ring is rectangle is exact. It is an approximation, and that is fine. The whole method works because the error in each piece shrinks faster than the pieces add up. So in the limit, the approximation becomes exact. Calculus is the discipline of controlling that limit. Treating integration and differentiation as unrelated. They are inverses. This is the single most important idea in the subject, and it is easy to miss when each is taught as a separate bag of rules. Whenever you accumulate and then take a rate, you return to where you started. Memorizing pi r squared instead of seeing it. The formula is the area under the line 2πr. Once you have seen it assembled, it stops being a fact to memorize and becomes a thing you could rederive on a napkin. What you should remember. Calculus breaks a hard problem into many easy pieces and adds them up. The area of a circle came from slicing it into thin rings, each approximately a rectangle of area 2πr times its thin thickness, and summing them as the thickness shrinks to zero. The two pillars are rates and accumulation. Differentiation asks how fast a function changes at each instant. Integration asks how much it accumulates over a range. The circle's area, pi r squared, is the accumulated, integrated version of its circumference, 2 pi r. They are inverses, which is the fundamental theorem of calculus. The rate of change of the accumulated area, a prime of r equals 2 pi r, is exactly the circumference being accumulated. Accumulate, then take the rate, and you return to the start. Everything else in this track builds on that one relationship. You rebuilt PIR squared from scratch and met all of calculus doing it. Slice, accumulate, and the quiet fact that taking a rate undoes accumulating. The next lesson zooms in on the rate side and asks the question that makes it precise. What does it actually mean to measure how fast something is changing at a single instant?